49% of Americans say religion is very important in their life. And that's good. You could see the decline, but they say it's very important. But then I guess the concern is those that say it's very important are not really committed to church. And then 27% say it's fairly important. 25% saying it's not very important. 25%. Now, this goes back to 1965. I was 3 years old. 70% said religion was very important. Then you could see the decline there. Remember, back in the 60s is when they took the Bible out of school and prayer out of school. And of course, you have abortion coming into play. All those things happened. So by 1978, that fell to 52%, from 65 to 78. Then it ticked up a little bit to 60% between 1990 and 2005, before declining in the past 15 years. Church attendance is declining. Even though most Americans have a religious preference and say religion is at least fairly important to them, much smaller proportions regularly attend religious services. Asked whether they personally had attended church, synagogue, mosque, or temple in the past 7 days, an average of 29% of U.S. adults in 2021 reported they had done so, either in person or virtually. In 2000, 44% had gone to church in the past 7 days. In 1958, 49%. So from the 50s to 2021, look at the decline there, 20%. When describing their behavior more generally, 22% of Americans report they attend religious services every week. 22%. With another 9% saying they do so almost every week. 11% saying they attend about once a month. And the majority saying seldom or never. So Gallup trends on this measure of church attendance date back only to 1992, at which time 34% of U.S. adults said they attended church every week. And then church membership. And that's where you find commitment. At least most churches, not all churches. You know, there's a big movement today of where churches are like basically saying, you know, if you attend, you're a member. There's no commitment, no church roles. There's a lot of that going on today, but that's recent. When we think of, you know, church membership, we're talking the Protestant churches of America, Catholicism, all these different churches, Baptists, Independent Baptists, Southern Baptists. You know, most churches have a membership and a commitment to membership. So additionally, it says, steep decline in U.S. church membership. Additionally, less than half of Americans, 47%, belong to a formal house of worship. When Gallup first asked the question in 1937, 73% were members of church. And as recently as 1999, 70% were. Now it's 47%. And this decline has largely been driven by younger generations of Americans. About 1 in 3 U.S. young adults have no religious affiliation. I guess we could go to Joshua or Elizabeth and their experience in college. You know, how many are truly, if you started going around taking surveys in your college, how many would fit into this category? 1 in 3. You'd probably find a lot that don't go to church, right? Even your immediate friends. Many young adults who do identify with a religion nevertheless do not belong to a church. And then older adults who have a religious preference are less likely to belong to a church today than in the past. So, you know, as we are trying to build a church, there's a reality out here. You know, you're trying to get people saved first, then baptized. But this is the kind of mentality we're dealing with in society of people who basically don't want any commitments. It's pretty sad. So we are a declining nation. We are religiously declining. And that's what's kind of happening in Zechariah chapter 7. Here's a message from God concerning religious indifference. Let's read the chapter. It's 14 verses, I think. The material I'm dealing with, well, yeah, it's only 9:15, so I got an hour and 30 minutes. I guess we didn't change the clock. Someone may want to reach up there and do that. Lonnie, why don't you? You're on stilts naturally, so go ahead. There's a little dial on there. Yep. So I have 10:17, brother, or 18 now. Just put on 10:18, that way I can get done early. No, 10:18, not 28. By the way, my wife's back. I told you she wanted 10 extra minutes last week, right? And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu. When they had sent unto the house of God, Sherezer and Regimelech, I think I got that right, and their men to pray before the Lord. And to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? And we'll get to understand what were they doing in the 70 years of captivity. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land, to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did you eat for yourselves or drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion to every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, and the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder, stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. See how that works? But I scattered them with the whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. So we're talking about, remember, 586 BC. That's when Jerusalem fell. And they observed four annual fasts. So what we're reading about here are fasts that they did while they were in captivity. They weren't necessarily fast commanded by God. And I'll get to that. I don't know in what order it's all going to come out. But so they established these fasts while they were there. And they were remembering certain occasions that were very important. The first one is the taking of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar in the fourth month, Jeremiah 52:6. The second fast was the burning of the temple in the fifth month, Jeremiah 52:12. And the third fast was the murder of Gedaliah, the governor, of the seventh month, Jeremiah 41. And then the siege of Jerusalem in the tenth month, 2 Kings 25:1. So these were four dates. That's why God is saying in verse, when they go and they're like asking, should we continue to do this now that you are building the temple? Now that you're back in Jerusalem, should we continue these fasts that we did all these 70 years in captivity? That's what's going on here. That's basically the question. And God's saying, all right, when you did this in the fifth month, in the seventh month, did you do it unto me? You know, what kind of fasts were they? Did they just kind of become empty, you know, tradition? That's what he's getting at. Now, the law of Moses establishes one fast for Israel, the Day of Atonement. And it was only for part of the day. And so we can say, yes, the fasts were appropriate during the exile in Babylon because it was keeping memory. It was important to remember these important dates and what they suffered. So it's not a bad thing what they established. So the question was, okay, the temple was destroyed, now it's being rebuilt, should we continue these fasts? But they had failed to see that what's far more important, remember, God begins looking at the heart. He's not so much concerned only with our outward manifestations or our outward actions, even when it comes to worship or serving God. God is concerned with our heart. And that's what the whole chapter is talking about. It's dealing with, okay, you're doing this, but were you really doing it in your heart unto me? Or did this just become a tradition that you, or a habit, you know, we do this? And God begins saying, no, I want true judgment. I want mercy. I want compassion. And then he, you know, what he did, they're not changing the message, are they? This is what God said to their fathers, to their grandparents before the, remember all the prophets we read when they came and they were warning, here's the judgment that's coming because of their sins. This is what God, he's going back and he's saying, listen, don't you remember what the old prophets were preaching? So he's challenging them. So you can allow things that are even good to become empty and superstitious formalism. And we need to move away from just formalism or traditionalism towards seeking God. So number one, let's get into this. And obviously we have very little time. So I will... The first part is just kind of laying the groundwork, and then we'll get into number two probably next week. That should be December 4th, by the way. I don't know why. So this was God's message, December 4th, in the fourth year of Darius' reign. And God begins to constantly bring up Darius and King Darius and his reign. So it is a time in history that we can always go back to as a reference point. And so think about, I know we read, you read the Bible and you read, okay, chapter 6, chapter 7. But between chapter 6 and the visions that we just went over, remember all the visions of Zechariah and their meanings and what God was teaching them? There was 2 years since Zechariah gave those visions. Now, we're not saying that the prophet wasn't doing anything. It's just he was probably ministering and helping and encouraging in the work of God. But it's just not recorded for us. But now the word of the Lord comes. It came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius, verse 1, that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu. So the word of the Lord. God spoke to him. You know, there's many ways that God gave his word. Some in a vision, some in a dream, and some God did audibly speak to them. And you have that even with the Apostle Paul. When he was on the road to Damascus, God spoke to him in an audible voice. So God does that. He's not doing it today, by the way, so don't come in here saying, God said this to me and I heard him. No, you didn't. You imagine that you heard him. God speaks through his word today. And that's why it's so important to be in the word and be faithful to the word and let God speak to your heart, obviously in context. You know, you don't do this stuff. Judas hanged himself. Okay. Go and do thou likewise. They're both in the Bible. So is that what you're going to do? Judas hangs. Go do it. Go do it. Oh, God said it. No, he didn't. You have to read everything in context. Amen. So... That's why it's important what we're doing, even this exercise, to learn about how these men came. What is the context of their question? What were they doing? And how was God, what was the message of God to them? There's a message to them, right? But also a message to us. That's the amazing thing about the Word of God. So, number one, the question asked. And then letter A, the time of the request. And then letter B, the theme of the request. So you have the time. And now the theme, verses 2 and 3. What was this about? When they had sent unto the house of God, Sherezer and Regemmelech and their men to pray before the Lord and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done those so many years? So here we have it. The theme. It's a sincere question that rose among those about fasting. Should they continue this practice of fasting and mourning over Jerusalem's destruction and the destruction of the temple? That was a good question. However, this delegation, I want you to understand, they're from Bethel. They sought the priests in Jerusalem. Bethel was located in the northern kingdom of Israel, just north of the Sea of Galilee. And what it's telling us is a lot of people went back to resettle in their homeland when they returned. These particular individuals did obey the Lord, amen. They returned. They wanted to rebuild the nation and the Lord's temple. So the question was simple. Should they continue to fast as a remembrance of Jerusalem's destruction that had happened 70 years earlier? Should they continue to mourn the loss of their beloved city now that it was being rebuilt? So here they are, you know. I'm not saying that everyone was indifferent or insincere in what they were doing, but there's a challenge here by what God says, because he does challenge them. Think about that. They were faithful in fasting for 70 long years. That's quite a special thing to do. Amen? Even Psalm 137, 1 and 2 says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. So it tells us their state, right? That's why they were fasting. The exiles had established, as I mentioned, four different fasts. Each special day to be remembered a different event that happened in the city's fall. The siege of Nebuchadnezzar, when the walls were breached, the burning of the temple, and the assassination of Gedaliah, the governor. So now the construction of the temple is almost coming to a completion. As I mentioned, the law of Moses required the Jews to observe only one national fast in Leviticus 23. We're not going to go there and study that. Of course, just like today, we don't have national fasts or like a church national fast day like established by Jesus, though he did tell us to fast and pray. But God had these fasts, or they established these fasts, not because the Word of God commanded them, but because they wanted to remember the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, we're going to get into the answer of God, but let's close with one verse in chapter 8. If I can find it. prior reading it, let me make sure. Oh, verse 19. Sorry, didn't get that far. Go to chapter 8, verse 19. This is what I was telling you about these fasts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. He gives them a specific answer. Not right away. I mean, he does give an answer in chapter 7, and we're going to see that. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore love the truth and peace. Now, what's interesting, you're going to see the context of that. Because that's talking about the coming of the Lord, amen, in the future. So, again, we have a question. It's a sincere question, I think. And then we have God's going to give us, and number two, you'll have the question answered, amen. That's what we're going to look at next week. Let me give you a few minutes to stretch your legs, get a cup of coffee.